Good morning and welcome. We're very few today. I don't know where everybody is, but that's okay. We're here and we're going to praise the Lord.
We're here.
Just a couple of announcements. We have prayer on Wednesday nights through Zoom, and I would encourage you to come and just pray with us. And it's just great. You can either do Zoom or you can just do it over the phone. Either way, you could come and be with us. So I encourage you to try and do that. Also, we have coming up next week, we're going to be doing a simple potluck lunch and watch the movie The Chosen, episodes 5 and 6, down in the fellowship hall. So just bring some simple thing. Last time we had about 12 people, so, you know, just bring enough for 10 or 12 people and come, and it was great. We had a good time, good fellowship. So I hope you all come. It's been a great series that we're watching. So that's good too. And I think that's about it. Does anybody else have something they want to say? Well, I do, but we used to do it on Wednesday nights, but we haven't had anything. I would love to have it. I would come to a Bible study if we had it. So, but right now we haven't had it. So I think it would be great. We could, well, no, not really, because this is mostly prayer requests and prayer.
Okay.
But yeah, I would love to get together and have a Bible study, and so it might be something for us to think about. Yeah. Another thing, Janet's been wanting really bad to start having like either Sunday school or something earlier before church service, because so many just sit while we're doing practice and stuff and they're just sitting out there. It would be nice to get together and have something to do. So something else to think about. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we are just missing a lot of people today, but that's okay. We have you here, and we are all here just to praise your name and to just grow closer to you and learn about you. Father God, I ask that you bless those that are here. I ask that you bless those that aren't here today, that are either doing something, or we pray that nobody's sick. And let our songs be music to your ear, Lord Jesus. We are just singing praises to you. We just ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we're going to stand and go to our call to worship. And it is Psalms 119, verse 114. You are my refuge and my shield. Your word is my source of hope. Amen. All right.
I will sing hallelujah, for there's joy in the Lord, and he fills my heart with rapture as I rest on his word. I will trust in his promise, I will shout, I am free in my blessed loving Savior. I have sweet victory. There is joy in the Lord, there is joy in the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, glory, there is joy in the Lord, there is joy in the Lord, there is joy in the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, glory, there is joy in the Lord. I will live for the Savior, I am his evermore, I am resting his favor, I am safe and secure, for the light shining brighter on my path every day cheers my happy soul with rapture as I walk in the way. There is joy in the Lord, there is joy in the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, glory, there is joy in the Lord, there is joy in the in the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, glory. There is joy in the Lord. When I come to the portals of that land of the blessed, I shall sing with holy angels of this rest, happy rest. I shall dwell there forever with my Lord and my King, and with everlasting praises make those high arches free. There is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, glory. There is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. There is joy in the Lord. Hallelujah, glory, glory. There is joy in the Lord.
Amen. There is joy in the Lord.
We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into his house and gathered in his name to worship him. We have come into and gathered in his name to worship Christ the Lord. Worship him, Christ the Lord. Let's forget about ourselves and gather in his name. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name and worship him. Let's forget about ourselves and magnify his name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship him. we seek your face. May we know your heart. Feel your presence, acceptance as we seek your face. Move among us now. Come reveal your power. Show your presence, acceptance, move among us now. At your feet we fall. We cry, holy, holy, at your feet we fall. We cry, holy, holy, at your feet we fall.
Good morning, church. Those here and those out there in the Ethernet everywhere, blessings to you all. Let us take our Sunday morning tithes and offerings. Father, Lord, thank you so much for the blessings you give, for the finances you provide, the food you bring into our homes, the family you give us, and the friendship and family here within this body as well. So many things don't have a price tag on them and they're intangible, Lord, but we know that finances facilitate all of them happening. So thank you, Lord, for giving us the money to make our world move and give us the wisdom to move them the way you guide us. Amen. The number two most precious time of the entire service, in my opinion. I love the sermon because I got to get fed, right? Okay, that's number one, plain and simple. Number two is a chance for us to be family and the family of God, right? So let's take a moment and let's share. And remember, if you have a prayer request that you just don't feel like speaking out, but you want it on the prayer list, use one of the little communication cards and hand it to me or hand it to just about anybody, they can give it to me and I can make sure it gets the right person. But anyway, we got those available too. So, prayer requests, praises. I got a praise. My first one is, no splint for me. No splint for me. So, my fall at the beginning of the year has managed to heal. And so, this is going to be my no fall fall. Just want you to know. Hopefully, no fall winter, no fall spring, too. So, yeah. Anybody else have a praise they'd like to share? Jeremy. Jeremy is asking for safe travel for his brother Jeff and their family coming to Oregon from Indiana or Illinois. Sorry. Yeah, they're close. At least I didn't say they're coming from India. That would be. No, from Illinois. They're traveling back because Jeff has some stuff to do, if I remember right, with college work to do here. And they're going to have some time to see family. A praise, Josh, go. Woo! Ah, that is, okay, the rent going up only $4. That's like a miracle praise, right? In today's, yeah. Praise the Lord. So prayer for the homeless in our area. The homeless camp in Hillsboro. Okay. Prayer for them to find God, find housing, find what they need. Holy Spirit, meet their needs. It could be so varied. Teresa. Prayer for Sister Carrie Watson, Teresa's mom, who has a lot of internal infection causing liver and pancreas complications, as well as a challenge to keep her blood pressure up and her heartbeat normal. Great physician, please intervene. Prayer for Teresa's mom. Bill. Woohoo! Praise Bill and Donna have made it 50 years together, and none of their nephews have suffered any of the worst. No, I'm just kidding. This coming April, my parents will achieve the same milestone too. As a young man, I praise God for that example. It is so hard to see these days. And I promise you, on year 14, I know it's going to be hard to achieve, but worth it, right? There's a lot of me that will continue to die into something much more beautiful in time. Yes, absolutely. Anybody else have something to share? Oh, so prayer for Paul Baker and his upcoming surgery, and a lot of pain and being somewhat bedridden possibly, And then, right. Okay. And continued prayer for Bobby Kendall as she continues to heal from her shoulder fracture. And it's just taking a long time to heal. So patience and perseverance, and Lord, bring healing to all. So Paul's horizontal most of the time, but can sit up for a couple minutes at a time. Okay, thank you, Debbie. So continued prayers for Paul and Carol. Yep, let's not forget our brother Ted. It's so good to see him here. But the blood tests this week have been mostly inconclusive. Debbie, the detective, is doing a great job trying to figure things out. When it seems like some of the doctors are struggling as well. So prayer for wisdom with the doctors, prayer to find an internist, prayer for more patients for Ted and Debbie, prayer for an answer, just an answer. Say that again. Going to take him to Dr. Sid, the vet. You were talking about who? Ted. Okay. For a second, yeah. For a second, I thought I heard you say Ken. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Yeah. My brother Ken also has been struggling with some hernias and some things dealing with his health too. And I would ask for prayer for some quick answers and quick repairs. You know, hernia surgeries are something right now that are often getting kind of pushed along unless they are critical, you know, in impacting the colon and stuff like that. So I hope that he can get that resolved soon. So prayer for my brother Ken. Sarah. So, prayer for Sarah's coworker Alyssa, who has been fighting cancer for the longest time. Yeah, about a year. I know fights go longer than that, but it just seems to go on forever at that point. So, she is still posting and praising God every day through her struggle. So thank you, Lord. Carolyn. My dad is regaining some more mobility, so praise for Fred Marble getting some strength back in his legs. Some of you may not know, my parents have sacrificed much for their grandbabies, coming and helping us quite a bit. And they still make a trip to Mac a couple times a week to pick them up so that we can be professionally responsible with our jobs. So praise for that. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Another request or praise? Continued prayer for Betty Culber. I assume, Josh, she's making big strides still now with her recovery from her fall. Good. Good. I'm glad to hear that Betty's getting more mobility back. Prayer for our nation, prayer for our leaders. We need it badly. Yes, Carolyn. Yes. It's a prayer for a fellow Bible study friend named Gail, and they're looking at possible relocating. Okay. Anyone else? Let us, as a family of faith, go out together. Father, Lord, you have heard many of the needs of this congregation here, of family, of friends, members of this body that are absent right now because of those needs. Lord, let them feel the warmth and the depth of our love through the Holy Spirit and through the internet right now. Wash over them with endless love, joy, peace, patience for what this life has brought right now. Help them feel connected to us, not just virtually, but spiritually through you. This is your church, Lord. We lift that whole congregation here in person and out there virtually, together as one before your throne. We are family. And Lord, many members of the family right now have a friend or family that are hurting. Lord, we have cancer in play. We have injuries still healing. Lord, we have mysteries of medicine we ask you to help solve. Because sometimes there are mysteries beyond us that only you can reveal to us. So we trust you, Lord, for the mystery of Ted right now, Lord. We lift up those with cancer right now, Lord. We lift up those with infirmities that need to heal. And Lord, we praise you for what you have done in our physical bodies. And we praise you for what you are doing in our hearts and minds, spirits, our very souls. And Lord, we ask for that same movement in us, maturity you bring in us. Praises for 50-year anniversaries coming up, and what a witness they are to how you teach us to sacrifice ourselves to something greater. How you teach us that marriage is just a symbol of the church and you, and how you sacrificed everything for the church, and how 50 years is a testimony of how we sacrifice ourselves to each other, to family, to faith, and to those things most important that you have taught us and shown us. Lord, we thank you for every marriage that you have sacrificed yourself for and brought love real into the world to be shared among couples. Lord, I just want to lift up the status of marriage in our society right now, Lord. It seems to be so antiquated to so many, and yet it is a testimony of your truest sacrifice to us. So, Lord, find a way to restore the sanctity of marriage in our midst. Help us see it for what it truly is, Lord, the blessing it can be. And Lord, we just lift up the leaders of this nation. Lord, we ask that you open up their eyes to biblical godly principles, and that those godly principles would reign in their hearts and reign in the decisions they make. But first, Lord, let those godly principles reign in our hearts and the decisions we make. And give us the strength, each and every one, to do that as we should. We ask all this in your Son's name. Amen.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. I got two bottles of water. Thank you. I'm going to ask my lovely producer, Sister Debbie, to put up a slide for me. I have an activity to get us started. Yeah, if you could present that. Now, the question you can see is, can you name the company attached to the following slogans? So I don't have prizes, but whoever can call them out first, you're a winner. Okay, you're in good hands.
Okay.
Yes. Ooh, ooh, good.
Campbell's Soup.
Yes, Campbell's Soup. We bring good things to life. It's actually a jingle. Yes, GE. We bring good things to life. General Electric. This one goes way back from when I was a kid. Finger looking good. Yes, everybody knows that. KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken. We make chicken good. Okay, all right. Yeah, all right. I didn't even ask yet. Sister Carolyn gets that one. Good to the last drop. That's right. That's Maxwell House Coffee. And what's the last one? Like a good neighbor? See, even the babies knew that one. They finished the line. State Farm is there. Thank you, Sister Debbie. These slogans are all about what's good, right? These are just a handful of companies that are human-made corporations that are claiming how good they are. And I bet you can also think of individuals in your life who claim to be good. We've got politicians when they're running for office, right? All of the candidates talk about how good they are and why you should vote for them. Or you may actually know people who are good. And you can think to yourself right now, oh yeah, so-and-so's good, so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, right? Somebody has good things about them. And I know I have people in my life who I would say are good as well, right? I got a whole list of them. Especially if you're in a community of believers, there's a lot of good people out there. But what I like to call our attention to today is what Scripture teaches us about God's character, that God is good, right? Scripture declares over and again that God is good. And by the end of our conversation today, I hope you will be reminded that we truly serve a good God. So our scripture for today is Psalm 34, verse 8. It's just a simple statement. It's an invitation, actually. Listen to what it says. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Isn't that something? Taste and see. It's like a commercial itself. So now I do want to give this information to you. So please know that although the text refers to a man, you know, it's actually does not preclude females, children, non-binary folk. Traditional English uses the male gender to include everyone. So in this case, and all throughout the Bible, it's the generic use of the term, not literally only men or only those who identify as males. It's not limited to just them. It's for everybody. So it's an invitation to say, come, taste, see that God is good, and you will be blessed if you trust in him. So now, I like to share a story I got. There's a pastor, Dr. Lloyd Stille. He pastors in Jasper, Alabama. And so he shared the story about a woman named Denise. So listen to the story. I was like, what? That can't be real. He was like, no, it's real, for real, for real, for real. Okay, so it's Denise. She was going to take a test. And she talks about that whole process of preparing for the test. So these are his words. It was the day for final exams. Denise walked into the classroom minutes before the professor arrived. Everybody in the room was doing last-minute cramming. Then the professor enters and takes a few minutes to review. So he led the class through a brief review. And most of it was familiar, per Denise. But there were some things that no one remembered ever hearing. Side note to our teachers in the audience, Ivan, Sarah, please don't do that to your students. Yeah, we're going to have a test, and you know all this information, and then you bring out some random fact that was in the index of the book that no one looks at. Don't do that to your students. Seriously, go over the stuff so then they'll know, okay? Because, you know, we get nervous when we have to take a test. So that's just a side note. Back to Denise's story. So they didn't remember hearing some of the stuff that he was talking about. So the professor responded with what sends cold chills up every student's spine. He says this to them, like a teacher would. This is in your textbook, and you are responsible for the content on this exam. Like, okay. So the time came for the test. He gave the word, and he hands out all the tests. Like, if you can remember being in school when the teachers do that. So he hands out all of the tests. And then it's time for them to take the test, and people start turning their tests over to go, okay, I can do this. So he gave the word. Every student took up their pen and turned their test over. So then Pastor Lloyd, he quotes Denise. He says, quoting her, "I couldn't believe it. To my astonishment, every answer on the test was filled in. My name was even written on the exam in red ink." A wordless stir traveled like a wave over the class as each student looked at their completed exam. On the bottom of the last page of every test was the note from the professor: "All the answers on your test are correct. You will receive an A on the final exam. The reason you passed the test is because the creator of the test took it for you. All the work you did in preparation for this test did not help you get the A." Isn't that something? So the teacher, the professor, made up this exam, filled in all of the answers, though, and then put each of the students' names on their tests, handed it out to them. So when they looked at it, they realized, hey, wait a minute. All the answers are already here. He got us all nervous for nothing. Right? Because they just knew there was going to be stuff on there that he mentioned that they don't remember reading in the book. But he says to them, the creator of the test has already done it for you. Nothing you did can help you get the A. And I know that professor was trying to illustrate a couple of spiritual truths. And two of them are this. One, God is good. And two, we benefit from his goodness. So there's tons of biblical examples to declare we serve a good God. Now I'm going to give you a list. It's a good list. With the references to God's goodness. So I have additional 9 scriptures. So with the one that we just read, that makes 10. That's a good list. And that's just 10 of them. I mean, if you go back in scripture, you're going to find way more. So listen to this one. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 34. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." Why? "For his mercy endures forever." That's 1 Chronicles 16. "The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are all over his works." That's Psalm 145, verse 9. "The Lord is good to all." Somebody tell me what all means, A-L-L. What does all mean? Everything, everyone, everybody, yes. So, yeah, the saved and the unsaved. So if you believe in God or not, according to this scripture, he's good to all. And his tender mercies are for all, are over all of his works. All of creation demonstrates that God is good. This is from Jesus in the New Testament. No one is good but one, that is, God. That's found in Mark 10, verse 18. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that's Psalm 27, verse 13. This scripture is simply saying, you know what? Life is so hard. I would be so ready to just throw in the towel, to give it all up, to lose hope. But my hope is in the goodness of the Lord. I know that God is good. That's what that psalm says. And the fifth verse comes from Psalm 33, verse 5. God loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Now, if you go back in scripture, particularly the Old Testament, it always talks about how nature itself, how creation itself declares just how good God is. And not only how good he is, but that he is God, that he is creator. So it's fascinating to me to hear people say, oh, I don't believe in God. And how can you prove God? Look around you. The very world we live in gives witness to God, his existence, and his goodness. The sixth verse comes also from Psalms, from the book of Psalms. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Another psalm, Psalm 107, verses 8 and 9. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. Why? For his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. So in this scripture, not only is God good, but he says, he gives that goodness to people, to human beings. He satisfies that hungry soul. Those who are searching for God will find him. The eighth verse comes from Nahum. Many people don't read Nahum. Nahum, the very first chapter, verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who trust in him. This is a beautiful verse because it's simply saying, this God that we serve, he's so good. He's so good. And when you have troubles in your life, you can rely on him. You can trust in that good God because he is a refuge. He's a stronghold. And the last verse is from Romans, the New Testament. Romans chapter 2, verse 4 reads this. Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? This is Paul asking a question. Are you kidding me? God is so good. Why do you think he's being good? So that you would become interested in his goodness and believe in him. He's trying to woo you and bring you to himself. That's the kind of God that we serve. So, what makes God good? Those verses talk about how good he is. Well, according to the scriptures we listed, God is good by nature, and his actions prove it. It's just who God is. He is naturally good. And I know we call all types of things good, as well as the people we know. But Jesus corrects that thought, and he says to us, well, really, honestly, no one is good except God himself. And he's talking about the innate, the very nature of who God is. He is goodness. Now, all of us, we can't claim that. We're not automatically good. Even though we can do some good things and we can become good, we're not born that way. It's not our natural nature. It is God's natural nature. He is good. And so when we call something good, it's usually because we're comparing it to something else that has lesser quality or value. So the state of being good is actually an added quality, right? So you're a car, because that's what we created you to be, you're a car. But compared to the other cars, you can be a good car because you run better, you have more seats, or whatever it is, right? But it's not just inherently good because it's a car, right? We add that on. Again, God's not like that. He's just automatically good. So we talk about it. We compare things to each other. And so it's common to hear, that's a good brand of shoes, or a good neighborhood, a good school district, or a good restaurant. As the advertisements promote their items, they're comparing their item to the competition, right? Go back to those slogans that we talked about. They're not just saying they're good, but they're implying they're actually better than the competitor. Thus, you should purchase their product, right? I mean, lots of people drink coffee, but don't just drink any coffee. You got to have Maxwell coffee, right? Because they're so, so good. That's what they're saying. Now, all the things we call good, including people, are imperfect. They are not inherently good, but not God. He's not good because he outdoes other gods. He is the definition of good. He is perfect without flaw. So how do we know God's true character of goodness? How do we know that he's good? By his actions towards us, right? If you can't simply understand that that's his nature, he's automatically good, look at his track record. Look at how he shows up in our lives. We look at his actions and we know that he is good. So let's look back at some of the scriptures we referenced earlier. The descriptions remind us his love, his kindness, his mercy is experienced by all of humanity, from the very first human beings to us today and to the people who follow behind us. That's just how good God is. Go back to that scripture. It says, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. So that means it's going to continue on and on and on and on. Even when we're gone, his goodness will still be there. And the scriptures also talk about how he saves those who trust him. Remember, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Now, stronghold refers to, like, if you were battling, you were two armies at war, you would go into a place where you could build your fort. That's a modern day word for fort is the modern day word for strong, for the stronghold. You go there and you can just keep off your enemy because you've got what you need. It covers you. You probably have a stash of food and what other goods, weapons, whatever else you need. So that's who God is to us. When we're facing really challenging times, we can run into him. He is our fort and he protects us. He supplies us with what we need, but he can do that only if you trust him. So you have to build that relationship with God and say to God, you know what? I know you're good. This stuff that's happening to me, not so good. They're raising my rent. I have sick people in my family. I've been struggling at my workplace. This, and that, right? Life ain't so good. But that doesn't negate the fact that the God we serve is good. And so when we face these hard times, these challenges, small ones or very big ones, you run to that place that can protect you, that refuge, because he is a good God and he will take care of us. God also reveals his goodness to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the goodness of God wrapped in human flesh. When Jesus came on the scene, he lived out God's plan of salvation. And, you know, we've talked about this before, right? How God made a way for us to be restored to a good relationship with him way before he even created us, way before we were even born. Your parents didn't even know that you were coming. Okay, and then your grandparents, and then your great-great-grandparents. Nobody knew. God had already figured it out. He said, yeah, I know. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to create people. They're not going to want to do what's right. How do I win them back, though? So before he even created us, he made the plan. And he said, oh, yeah, Jesus, that's what he'll do. He'll go down. He'll live with them. He'll show them the way. He'll die for them. And then I'm going to raise him from the dead. And then I'm going to send him back. Already made the plan. So Jesus is the fulfillment of that plan. God knew we were like the students in Denise's class, she and her colleagues. Nothing we could do would help us pass the test. So God sent Jesus to take the test for us. Jesus lived out and died, demonstrating God's ultimate good action. He loved us so much, he gave all. His beloved Son died for our sins. And we who call ourselves good, we know that we're imperfect. God knows our imperfection. He knows our flaws, our shortcomings. Yet, he provided a way for us to pass the test anyhow. Somebody say amen. The Apostle Paul writes a lot about this in the book of Romans. And so when you read Romans and you go to chapter 5, Paul says this. He's talking. He says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. We didn't even know about God, but he provided Christ for us. And then later in chapter 8, Paul argues, since God did not spare even his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, won't he also give us everything else? Because he already gave everything he had by giving us Christ himself. So naturally, the good God we serve is going to help us with the other things in our life because he gave the biggest and the best when he gave us Jesus. So Paul is teaching the Roman church the magnitude of God's goodness. It's God's nature to be good. And because he is good, he extends his goodness to us. And we have special access to more of God's goodness through Jesus. So those who follow get even more of God's goodness. So unlike the world that experiences God's goodness on a regular basis, and incidentally, that many of us take for granted, because we do, the rain, the sun, the change in the seasons, the production of food, and the existence of animals, everything that's out in creation, again, for all of us, whether we name God as our God or not, God gives that to all of us. But those who accept Christ gain spiritual access to God's goodness because of our relationship to God and because we respond to his goodness. That's what God is looking for. So there's an endless riches for us to discover because of the work of Jesus Christ. And when we trust in him, we gain access. And so now, we can't talk about the goodness of God without talking about how to respond to his goodness. So remember, we've been talking about the character of God, God's attributes. Who is God? And if he is good, there's a reason for it. And he's not just good just to be good. He's expecting us to respond to his goodness. So let's look at the implications of knowing a good God. Once we know God is good and he extends his goodness towards us, it's up to us to respond. And here I'd like to propose three appropriate responses to God's goodness. Just three. Number one, repent. Admit to God our unbelief. Now, you may have been walking with Jesus a long time and you say, well, I mean, I don't believe in God. No, I'm not talking about that belief. Because I know that if you believe in God, that's belief. But there are still times throughout your life and throughout your walk with Christ that we still doubt God. And then we still question, like, what are you even doing? Are you even listening to my prayers? Are you listening to me? Are you there? So tell God, you know, God, I'm really feeling like you're not listening to me, that you don't hear me, that you don't see me, that you're not understanding what's happening in my life. Say it, because God's not afraid of you sharing what's in your heart and in your mind. Admit to God your unbelief and our imperfection. We have to remember that, yes, Jesus died for me and I'm saved, but I still am imperfect. And the world I live in is imperfect. Accept that. And start living a life of gratitude. Because I know the longer you walk with Christ, you might be like the people who don't believe in God at all. You start taking Jesus for granted. Like, I made this assumption. Maybe you didn't do this. But when my eyes opened this morning, I was like, oh, what time is it? I looked at the clock. And I just automatically, Sister Donna, my brain said, move legs. And my legs got out the bed. They swung over, right? And then the rest of my body lifted up. I just assumed, Sister Lori, that that was going to happen. I took for granted that that would happen. Why? Because all my life, that's what I've been able to do. But God says, don't take my goodness for granted. You can still be thankful, which is why we practice sharing our praises as well as our prayer concerns, because God wants to hear us say that we are grateful, that we are thankful. And yes, you know what, God? A whole lot of stuff is going on in my life that's really wackadoodle, but you're still a good God. When I look at that clock and I go, ooh, what time is it? Oh, man, it's time to get up. I can say that, but I can also say, thank you, Jesus, for a clock that works. Thank you that my eyes opened. Thank you that my legs are getting me out of the bed. Thank you for this breakfast that I'm about to prepare. Right? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Instead of just assuming that God's supposed to give you the stuff that you have, because he doesn't have to. So repent. Ask God to forgive your unbelief in those times when you're not so thankful and grateful. Start thanking God for his goodness. Stop taking God's goodness for granted. Paul argues in Romans that the goodness of God should motivate us to do better. So remember our verse from chapter 2. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, his forbearance, his long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? When we see how good God is, everything in you should be like, oh, I need to be like that. Let me get my act together. What do I need to do, God, so I can be like you? Leads us to repentance. The second thing is this: practice God's rest. Now, a while back, we talked about the spiritual disciplines, you remember? And we discussed the meaning of resting in God. And when we know that God is indeed good, we should rest in him and take refuge in him when the times are hard. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust him. The scripture says, God knows you by name. He knows that you trust in him. So guess what? He has a special place for you. He actually knows every single person that's ever lived on the planet because he's created us all. But because of your relationship through Christ Jesus, you're on his list. And he's like, oh, what does Jeremy need today? I think he's calling me. What does he need? Because he's a good God and he's going to answer. But you got to trust him to do that. And so sometimes life condemns us and teases us about the good God that we serve because we see death, we see illness, we have struggles. So we might wonder, is God still good? I mean, those scriptures were written thousands of years ago. Is he still good? And where is God's goodness in all of this? When you look at your life, you're like, that's a hot mess. Over there is a hot mess. That's like triple hot mess. Where is God's goodness in all of this? It's a good question to ask. But remember, God is inherently good. So even though the world is fallen and imperfect, doesn't lessen who he is. And so the invitation is to lean into his goodness when the world around us is full of chaos. Just go back to that scripture for today. Taste and see that the Lord is good. It's an invitation. He has not forgotten about you, and he knows your situation. So be encouraged to take shelter in him because he knows you and he cares. So first thing was repent. Have a good attitude, an attitude of thankfulness. Second thing, practice God's rest. The third thing is this, put your faith into action. When we believe God is good all of the time, as Ivan called out earlier, we can be inspired to walk our talk and expect God to reveal more of his goodness to us. Listen to what Psalm 84 says. Psalm 84, verses 11 and 12 says this. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. O Lord of heaven's armies, what joy for those who trust in you. What joy we have when we bring our burdens to the God who cares about us. And why does he care? Because he's a good God. The psalmist is giving witness to the fact that God shines on our path so that we can see the way to go. He protects us so we can do good things that glorify God. And let me tell you this, saints. You can't go wrong. You can't go wrong when we step out in faith and follow God. You can't go wrong. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for being a good God. And thank you, thank you, thank you for extending your goodness towards us. Even when it doesn't seem like we can experience your goodness because of our challenges. We know that you're good, and we say thank you. We ask you, dear Father, that you would help us to recognize, to taste and see that indeed you are good. Help us to respond to your goodness by being thankful, by trusting you more and more, and stepping out in faith to follow you. Thank you, God. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Let's have a closing song, and then I'll come again.
let's stand and we're going to sing Learning to Lean.
What a great song to end with. I encourage you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, to lean into Jesus. Lean into God's goodness so that you can experience his goodness in your life this very week. And so as we close, I have another prayer for us. Lord God, thank you again for this day. Bless my brothers and sisters who are as they leave from this place, but definitely not from your presence. Your spirit is always with us. And so for that, we say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Go in God's grace and his goodness until we meet again.
Have a good afternoon.